Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.
See, Boombadita did come on.
That was good.
Okay.
It's an interesting intro. I like that one.
All right. Boy, the excitement's building.
It
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh. It's fishing report time.
Yay. It's not a bad thing. Sporadic and all over the map, but it's a pretty good thing.
Let's see. It's fishing report time. Even they weren't very excited.
All right.
You know, it really is kind of strange because everybody say, oh, the fishing sucks. The fishing sucks. I can't find any fish. Where are you going? Well, the same place I was last year in January.
Right. Exactly.
And that's kind of one of the big problems this year is that a lot of people are doing exactly what they did when the water was 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
Well, it's January. It's January, January, January. And in Southwest Florida, but I guess you could say the same thing about Ohio or Michigan or
right. Any
state, some months are warmer year to the next.
I was talking to my cousin last night. She came into town with her soon-to-be husband, and he's usually ice fishing right now, and he said there's no ice on the lakes.
What state is that?
Michigan.
Really?
He's like right in the center, close to Flint. Said none of his lakes have enough ice on them to do anything with. So, you know, it's definitely off. He said this is going to change today because there's supposed to be like a high of like 1 degree or something. He said that's probably going to start to freeze the lakes up good. But
we don't want if it lasts for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like us. We're in a warming trend now. It's going to get warmer and warmer and warmer, and light and variable wind, and then all of a sudden, towards the end of the week, it's going to go crack, and it's going to drop back down, and it's going to be cold again.
Well, tonight it's going to do that.
Really?
Tomorrow's supposed to only be a high of 64.
Oh, yeah. Because tomorrow is supposed to be really windy. Sunday's supposed to be really super nasty, bad, windy, rainy, everything. And I was thinking of Monday. I'm a couple days off.
Yeah.
Off.
Okay. You've had a rough couple of months.
I'm about half a dipper short of a bucket, so.
Only a half a dipper.
Well, I'm trying to be good to myself.
Okay.
But one of the things you got to do now is fish deep in the morning, shallow in the afternoons, because deep water stays more constant, and then shallow water warms up quicker.
Absolutely.
So fish the sunny areas. We're not looking for the shade underneath the trees. We're looking for the sun with grass.
Yes, definitely.
And a lot of guys fishing the mangroves and stuff, they're casting underneath the trees in the shade, especially for, you know, in the morning up until 10, 11 o'clock. Those fish are out there in the sunshine trying to warm up.
Yeah.
It's bloody cold in that first 2 foot of water.
Cast in front of your boat because that's probably where they're sitting. You're casting over their heads and past them by 20, 30 feet.
That's why people are saying, because they're used to fishing one way, and now we get to fish a different way.
Right.
And it's the same thing if you're up north. In the summer, you fish one way. In the winter, you fish another way. You drill a hole through the ice, and you drop straight down. But in the summer, you cast out.
Right.
Well, here, when it's warm, we cast into the shade. When it's cold, we cast into the sun.
Yep. That's our version of ice fishing.
Yeah, that's about as close as we're going to get.
Thankfully.
Yeah, I don't need to get any colder.
No.
All right. Up in the Peace River, I'm hearing a big snook up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's from Harbor Heights all the way on up to Wachula, they're big old snook.
Yeah, 40, 44 inchers, 46 inchers. Guy claimed he had a 48 incher. The picture was a little tough because of the angle, but the fish was well into the low 40s without any question. It was a really impressive fish. And then even a few up there by Shell Creek, I've heard a couple guys catching some high 30s and a low 40. So there's some pretty good snook activity up there. You just got to work at it and work them slow. They're working the big swim baits has been the big thing, or a hand-picked size shrimp and just working it super slow, letting it drift as naturally as possible, maybe with a little split shot depending on the particular point you're fishing.
This is why I tell people to listen to the radio show. A lot of people, they read this, but
yeah, no, I get that. The other thing I've been getting up there, people have been talking about it, Shell Creek has been seeing some small juvenile tarpon rolling, and they're starting to pick up a few more mangrove snapper up in there with an occasional small redfish. So, not setting the world on fire, but definitely a little better report than the last week. The last week was just only, I think, a couple fish. I did hear of some jacks up there by you, but I haven't heard of just that one gentleman talking about them. They were about 8 to 10 pound fish. They weren't giants, but very, very good pulling fish.
Yeah.
With the way the last 10 years have been, 8 to 10 pound jack's a big jack now.
Well, I gotta tell you, it pretty much always was, Robert. You know, I mean, even years ago, you go out and, you know, I keep hearing so much about the good old days, the good old days. I remember in the early 90s, there was no fish anywhere around here. Right. And in the 70s, all the fish were dead. I mean,
right.
Oh, it's always so much better years ago. Well, you really don't remember, like, in 1990, when this whole area collapsed and builders walked off. You think 2007, 2008 was bad. You should have been here in 1990.
Right.
That was bad. I mean, literally half-built homes all over town where the builders just said, "Poop, we're gone," and they just left.
Yeah.
Left the houses half done, took the money, and hauled butt. All right, Darst Boat Ramp, I-75. Getting a lot of people asking me about I-75.
Yeah. Black drum.
Well, some redfish on the north end.
Mm-hmm.
And those are against the sawgrass.
Yep. And shrimp, they're eating shrimp really, really well up there. A couple guys even got into a couple bigger trout on that north end under the flat part of the bridge where it's a little deeper trough.
What's over by the other end? Black drum and what else?
Black drum. A couple guys gave a couple reports of some small whiting and a couple silver trout that they caught there, which was surprising. I haven't heard of a silver trout in quite some time, so that was pretty good. But the black drum have been ranging from 10 pounds all the way up to like 35 pounds, so kind of the mixed bag.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we got in, he literally did not know black drum were good eating.
Yeah.
Because his neighbors are telling him, "Oh, no, that's horrible, that's terrible."
Yeah.
Good God. But if you're coming down to Florida and you don't know which fish are edible, which ones you should eat, which ones you shouldn't eat, which ones are good eating, which ones are bad eating, call us. Don't listen to your neighbors, because rumors and innuendos and bad, you know, crazy ideas go 10 times farther and faster than the truth.
Absolutely.
I just posted my first stuff on the internet in almost a year now.
Really?
Yeah. I just put up some fishing reports, but I'm doing it away from the internet. I'm using my blog, and I've got it set to post to all these different things.
Oh, there you go. Let's check that out.
I said, you know, it's time to get started back. We got all the seminars coming up. We got seminars with Shimano, Penn, Reaper. We got so much stuff. I've got to get a way of letting people know what's coming up, what's available. And, you know, but we'll figure it out. Okay, yeah. I-75, this is 41.
41's had a lot of snook on it, but mostly smaller guys. They did finally open up that park on the north end of the bridge with the little walkway and everything. That's 100% absolutely open now. So a few guys have been utilizing that and catching a couple of trout, a couple of small snook to medium snook. I heard of several redfish being caught off of there, and a lot of little mangrove snapper with a couple of small sheep's head. And then under the bridge itself, there has been some some black drum and an occasional trout.
Okay.
So it hasn't been too terribly bad. That one boat's still sitting out there in the sandbar out there in front of where the old Banana Bay was. And then there's a big sailboat over there on Bayshore.
You know, there's going to be boats sitting around for quite a while because FWC's got no money.
Right.
What they ought to do is fire the people who are doing the fishing license website. They need to fire them because they're horrible.
Right.
Get a new company in, get rid of that one, whatever it takes, get rid of them, get somebody who knows what they're doing. I could do a better job. Yeah. Literally, I could do a better job.
I'm sure.
And I suck at building websites. I mean, look at the one I built. But, you know, God, they're horrible. And, you know, take that money. You know, offer somebody less money. I'm sure they'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, Lashley Pier.
Just been a few small...
That was supposed to be a way of saving money.
Right.
Fire them, hire somebody for a little less money, and even go to the lowest bidder instead of the second lowest. They couldn't do a worse job.
Right.
So, all right, Lashley Pier.
The, been a few small trout, a few mangrove snapper, a couple of sheep's head, and a couple of black drum.
It's just been sheep head.
Sheep's head, what I've been hearing about, have been small. Just not really any good numbers on this end of the harbor. And what is up here has been mostly small. If I do hear of one, it's usually like a stud.
Yeah, it's been a weird year on that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually quite a few sheephead around, but I'm not going to tell somebody, okay, go fish sheephead down at Lashley or underneath the 41 Bridge, because they're all, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just... You know, you get years where there's just beautiful sheephead there, and then years where there's just nothing. I think it might have had to be this year with so much fresh water coming down for so long.
Right.
What kept us free of red tide all summer long also killed most of the grass, because the water was so murky, dark, muddy that sunlight can't get to the grass. So grass dies without sunlight. And all that fresh water might have moved a lot of those sheephead out, because it lasted a lot longer than it normally does.
Right.
It was a month or two longer. Usually the rains stop a month or two earlier, and I think the fish have time to kind of move in and kind of do stuff, where it was just kind of all bang, 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 you know, a lot of fresh, a lot of fresh, a lot of fresh, then stop. Okay, now it's going to be salt. Yeah. And it just got cold. The rain stopped. The cold started. Everything kind of hit all at once.
Yeah, it wasn't a slow transition. It was a bang light switch.
Yeah, it was a light switch on and off. And I think that's might be why I'm just going through my pea brain.
Well, and then it got to where the salinity was high enough. But then we had that point, what, a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where the river got up to 11 foot?
Yeah.
You know, and that the weird part was you never heard about the water being stained or anything like that. But that much fresh water flowing down has to change things and affect stuff.
It's got to. So, any news on Bayshore? What's going on?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Port Charlotte canals.
Sporadic and inconsistent, but good. Terrible behind
I'm
my
not sure
house.
How to spell sporadic.
Right. No, it's...
S-P-A-R-I-T-I-C something. Sporadic and what?
Inconsistent.
Inconsistent. Damn.
One canal's incredible. Like the Ackerman, I've had quite a few reports this week on the Ackerman waterway. Redfish of rat reds all the way up to 25, 26 inches. Mangrove snapper up to 13, 14 inches. Some snook and some jacks. But then the Manchester waterway, because that branches right off of it, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's the guy, he said, oh, I trolled it for a little while, went up over here, here, and here. He said he got two little tiny mangrove snapper that were like 6 inches each. So, and they're literally connected. Behind the house, we've got a couple small snook. Had a gentleman go by yesterday, asked him how he was doing, and he said he had caught a couple snook and a couple small jacks further up the canal towards Higgs Park, because he trolls by there semi-regularly, like once or twice a week. He might troll by there more than that, but I see him maybe once or twice a week. And then there has been some juvenile tarpon still over in East Spring Lake. But they've been there 2 days and gone for a day. I don't know if they're sitting on the bottom or just not rolling.
I think they just go down to sit on the bottom.
Yeah.
All right, give me a second. I got to run spell check on sporadic and inconsistent here. And it's not going to give me any, it's giving me one, not the other. Okay.
Worth a shot.
Got it. What was really weird, I had highlighted a couple, words, and then jumped to another one that was misspelled. I got three of them instead of two of them, and I only had two of them highlighted, so I don't know what the heck's going on. Yeah. Trying to get this cleaned up. I've been starting to move stuff into the history page. I don't know if it's even worthwhile to do it, but I guess if I don't do it, I'm going to feel bad. It just takes me a lot of time to move it over there, but
it's
a lot of reports. So, who knows, maybe one day I'll write a book.
There you go.
And I'll have all that information. All right, Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean's been doing okay. They have been getting a few sheep set off of there. They're a little bit better quality, just not the numbers that we're used to. The trout, most of the trout I've been hearing about have been just barely legal or undersized. But a little bit better bite on the mangrove snapper from several people this week. A couple of black drum. One guy hooked a small shark. He said it broke him off next to the pier, so he's not sure what kind of shark it was. What else did I hear about this week? That's pretty much about it, unfortunately.
Okay, so we'll move on to the Myakka River area.
Okay. They're getting into the Myakka cutoff and places like that really tricky right now. In the next several days will probably be a lot of mud. But the trout, there's been some trout between Tippecanoe and the Myakka cutoff. Most of them are a little bit smaller, but there has been some legal fish as long as you cover some ground. And then on the outside of Hog Island there, a couple guys have caught a couple of redfish and a lot of small snook. And then for the guys that are able to sneak inside the cutoff, there's been some snook.
Actually, redfish, snook, and a lot of nice fish back up in there because nobody can get in there.
Right.
Some of the guys were telling me about monster redfish they're finding back up in some of the little lakes up there in the cutoff. Okay. And you go in there in the afternoon when the sun's beating on a lot of that shallow water, and they're loaded up with big redfish back there.
Nice. I haven't fished back there, and I don't even know how long anymore. That used to be fun to go into when you could actually park at the end of Midway and just slide a canoe in.
Yeah, well, all you do is run your boat over there.
Yeah, but getting up in those lakes, I don't know if I could get into them. I don't know how to get into them from the cutoff side.
You go into the cutoff, and it's big, wide area, and then it opens up to bigger, wider area. And off on the right, at the very back side, there's a little narrow passage that leads to the rest of the Myakka cutoff. You go around that curve, it dead ends in front of you, you go to the right, and you go down, and you'll see a couple little islands on the right-hand side.
Okay.
The opening to the Triple Lakes is right behind those islands.
Oh,
it's
okay.
About an eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile after you go through the narrow curve and then make the hard right. You go up and literally some little tiny islands, because you got to look close for the islands because they kind of look like shoreline.
Right.
But once you see those islands on your right, and when you know they're islands, then it's very obvious. But if you're not sure where the islands are, you got to kind of go over there. But as long as you're in an idle, you can probably idle right up in there. Just follow that creek up there and you'll go into the Triple Lakes.
Okay. I'll have to go check that out one of these days.
Yeah, it's...
Do a little Lewis and Clark.
It's real easy once you know where you're going. And right. The outside bends of that little creek are where the deep water is.
Right.
Inside bend, a lot of mud. All right, yeah. South Gulf Cove in the canals.
I've got nothing back there this week, unfortunately.
We heard anything about the locks back there? Are they working again?
I don't know. I haven't heard a thing, honestly.
Okay, isn't it amazing? I can't remember names of people anymore, or this or that, or why I'm in one room instead of the next room. But you ask me about going into a creek or something, and
right.
I can go, okay, here and there, and then you got this, and then you turn and... God, that just shows you how warped my damn brain is, you know? That's West Wall.
West Wall doing fairly good, but it gets better as you work your way south. Look for just good moving water next to the bushes and out away from the bushes. They've been getting some redfish, a few snook. I've heard of a couple of pompano and a couple of trout out on top of the flat, but between the flat and the mangroves, basically in the trough where everybody runs. And then down further south, lots and lots of snook, kind of like Blowdown Creek and all along that shoreline from that there, from, what was that, Blowdown Creek down to Muddy Bay.
Mm-hmm. So,
and the water is really clear over there too.
Yeah, it's amazingly clear for the west side of the harbor.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that the east side of the harbor is clear for several months more, and the water's gin clear, really nice on the east side. Much longer periods of time is in the west side, because on an outgoing tide, that west side takes all the water from the Miocene Peace River.
Yep.
And it flows out along that west side, so it's going to be muddier. You can literally find times of the year where the west side of the harbor is just dark brown, muddy, and as you go across the harbor, you'll just see the water clear up till you get to the east side, which takes the incoming tide. 80% of the water coming through Boca Grande Pass goes up that east side of the harbor. So all that clear, salty water goes on that side. All the rainwater and river water comes down the west side. And it's literally split like that. It's crazy. Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay as we're talking about it.
Oh, gotcha. Well, Muddy Bay and the cut between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay have got some nice snook sitting along in there. And then in Muddy Bay, it's got the snook, the redfish. What did that guy catch the other day? Lots of little mangrove snapper, like up to 12 inches. And then out on the Cape Hayes bar, I've heard of a couple of bonnet heads yesterday that a gentleman was telling me about. And then some small trout. So getting a little bit better on the trout activity down that way, but still sporadic at best, unfortunately.
It's going to be that way, because right now the incoming tide has got cold, salty water. The outgoing tide has cold, salty water. And there's no real thing there. It's, but it will get better very soon. Bow Bay, Turtle Bay.
Pretty good overall. Lots of redfish, lots of snook. And they're in the bushes, the troughs, out away from the bushes, just kind of scattered throughout the whole place. And then getting a lot of mixed reports of sheep's head, especially as you go to Bull Bay. Bull Bay in those deeper troughs, especially around the shacks and even way in the back where those boathouse thingamajiggers are at. They've been getting some bigger sheep's head back in there, along with a few mangrove snapper. And then the trout have been scattered sporadically throughout the whole flats itself. But if you find some deeper water, that seems to be where some of those bigger trout are sitting. But you just got to work hard at it and work slow. Don't keep moving real fast. It's not a speed race. It's just a slow, methodical race, working, covering some ground, and letting the baits work themselves as slow as possible.
If you're going to throw some kind of lure, Storm 360 GT, I think. It's kind of a longer paddle tail, but it's a flimsy one. But we found out at the Rapala seminars the other night that it actually has a rattling jig head.
Right.
So that search bait, you have a rattling jig head, so you can pop your rod just a little tiny bit and slow reel it, get that good action off the tail. And as you pop it every once in a while, making it bounce up and down, you're going to get the ch-ch-ch of the rattles help enhance that bite. So that might be worth something worth looking into. And a guy coming in asking about shrimp with this and that. And I sold him some DOAs and some Marker 54s.
Right.
Because shrimp is the king of baits right now. And the DOA, they're great for pulling forward, you know, and getting that slow, steady retrieve and letting them rise and fall. And then every couple of minutes or minute or two, you pop them and make them go crazy and then go back to that nice, slow, steady. But with the Marker 54, I sold him ones that go backwards.
Right. Those
and
are
so
pretty impressive.
He's kind of reeling it, and then the next thing you know, you pop, pop, pop going backwards. It's a whole different type of action.
Right.
It's exactly opposite of the DOA, but it's not as expensive as some of the $6 and, you know, single lures that you got to do that with.
Right.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef.
Got nothing, unfortunately, at either one of them.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound, Tailing Flats, backside of Boca. What do you got?
Incredible. Absolutely pretty good. Sheep's head on a lot of docks, some mangrove snapper, some snook, some oversized redfish. I've heard of several flounder this week being caught around those docks and oyster bars. along the mangroves. It's definitely some sheep's head, some snook, some redfish. Good mixed bag of stuff going through that whole area. The only thing I haven't heard about much is as you work your way out towards the intercoastal area, that's been a little bit slower, but find yourself some grass flats, oyster bars, bushes, and docks. By far the most consistent thing going in shrimp is number one.
There's some trout on the flats on the other side, and there are redfish and possible snook are up in the creeks.
Yeah, they've been kind of scattered throughout that whole area, and they're all the redfish I'm hearing about, until you get in the creeks, are all oversized. The creeks, you got undersized to oversized. Kind of that mixed bag.
It's kind of weird how all this is working out this year. Definitely a strange
winter.
Yes, and we keep saying that every year.
Yeah, but I can't remember one this consistent in the intercoastal and the backsides of the barrier islands like this.
The consistent thing is, for the last 5 years, we've been saying this is a really strange year.
Yeah.
And how weird is this year? This is supposed to happen here. That's supposed to happen there. The only consistent thing I'm hearing over the last 5 years or so is how inconsistent everything is. Yeah. How it's changing. Every January, we're talking about something different than we did the previous January.
Right.
And you might have to go back 3, 4, 5 years to find a January that was like the January you're in now.
Right. That makes sense.
And that's the only thing I know that's consistent is how much we've talked about how weird this year is that year. And you can go back 2015, 16, 14, 13 and hear the same things coming from us.
Probably so.
Yep. So I don't know if we got to quit saying it or just come up to the decision that it's not going to be...
Things are evolving and in a major change and just be prepared for the unpredictable.
No, it's just that the only constant is change. And we've had so many Januaries. A couple years ago, we had January, and the Peace River at this time had 14 feet of water in it.
Right.
That it was like 3 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was, flooding. I mean, houses had water in them on Arcadia in January, which is something I had never seen before.
Right.
And now this year, the river's barely running. It's at 2 feet in Arcadia. It's 300 cubic feet a second, which is really just a dribble. Okay, Placida Pier and the trestles.
That's been sporadic off the trestle itself for the land-based fishermen, but the boat-based fishermen have been getting... They're still catching sheep's head, but it's like one day great, next day okay, next day really good. But the trestle itself, if you can move around a little bit and find that little nut of sheep's head, they seem to be like kind of stacking up around a specific set of pilings. Along with a few redfish being caught off of the whole area there, the bridge system has got some mangrove snapper, heard of a few pompano, a couple of flounder, a lot of small snook, some sheep's head. My nephew caught a nice croaker the other day out there with my aunt. Underneath the docks right there also, at the north end of Boca Grande Island itself, right by Gasparilla Pass, sheep's head, a few flounder, a couple of snook sitting on them still, along with the redfish also.
Yeah, and heard good stories of flounder out there, right around there. Mm-hmm. But it's just as you said, if you're not checking each piling, if you're on the pier, go from one piling, go down 10 feet to the next piling, and then go 10 feet to the next piling, and go 10 feet to the next piling.
Yeah.
You know, 15, 20 minutes at each one, see if you get a bite. And if you don't, move down a little bit. Sitting in the exact same place all day and then saying the fishing's no good is your fault.
Right.
The fish could literally be 10, 15 feet away from you, but if you're not moving and finding the fish, you got to look for them. Why do you insist that they have to find you?
Right. There's a lot of structure down there, and people don't realize there's just certain times where they like that spot.
And then they're going to move 15, 20 feet, and they're going to go to another spot. It could be they clean off the stuff on one piling or something, and okay, we've eaten all the available little bugs here, let's go down to the next one, eat more available bugs. If you were sitting at a restaurant, it was like during Irma, after Irma, we're coming back, and I see people doing 70, 75, 80 miles an hour down the interstate when there's no gas stations hardly open at all.
Right.
People are parked in closed gas stations waiting for them to open because they have no gas to go any further. Now, your car is going to get literally 3 to 5 more miles per gallon at 50, 55 miles an hour than it will at 70.
Yeah.
So if you get a vehicle, let's say you're getting 20 miles to the gallon, and you can get 23 to 25 out of it by slowing down, you can go that much farther. Wait a minute. Well, that doesn't make any sense because I don't get there quicker. But you could actually probably get there. You're right. Not stuck behind 150 cars in line. I was doing 53 to 55 miles an hour, making everybody mad, and I'm looking on the exits. There's 20, 30, 50 cars lined up at the gas stations.
Yeah.
You might drive a truck full of gas in the back. I had 50 gallons of fuel in there. But why am I going to burn that up in case I need it at the house?
Right.
So I was 53, 55, and my truck, which usually gets about 18 on the highway, is getting 22 miles to the gallon.
Right.
That's a lot more miles.
Yes, it is.
And it's the same thing out here on the pier. If you're stuck doing one thing, this is the thing you're doing. Well, if you can change that thing, you're probably going to catch a lot more fish.
Yes, you will.
Just like if you change your speed, you can get a lot more gallons to a mile, or a lot more miles to a gallon. But if you move down, up and down the pier, don't fall in love with the spot. You ever notice with people, they get on a pier, they put their rod out, and then they put up a mailbox, and they kind of move in, and this is where they're at. Same as when they get out grouper fishing. Once they put the anchor down, they set up a mailbox, they're ready to move in, that's their spot, they ain't moving.
Yeah.
And I don't get either one.
Nope.
So, anyway, Lemon Bay, Dump Pass, whatever.
All through Lemon Bay, been picking up a few more trout, but you're, once again, moving a lot, drifting, covering some good ground. The docks have been holding a few snook, a couple of redfish, some miscellaneous flounder. I've heard of 2 26-inch gag grouper being caught up there underneath people's docks. Catch and release, of course, on the gag grouper, but a couple of people got them. And then some of those canal systems going back into the, I don't even know the names of most of those canal systems back in there, but they've been picking up some better snook, a few jacks, and an occasional redfish. And most of those redfish back in there have been on the smaller side, but it's nice to finally hear of some rat reds and juvenile redfish from the last several years of virtually none. So I'd much rather have a report of small redfish than no redfish. It's a more comforting feeling for the future.
So once again, I was right and the entire rest of the world was wrong.
Yes.
Because I said, this year, if we start seeing a lot of little redfish, I'm right and the rest of the world's wrong. Everybody's saying, well, this is why we have no redfish, this is why we have no redfish, and I told them why. And no one would listen. No, that's not true. And da-da-da-da. It's the same reason I got off social media. Because literally nobody wants to hear a logical explanation.
Right.
They want to react to whatever. Oh, there's too many tournaments, there's too much of this, there's too much of that, we don't have any redfish. And when I asked them, I said, well, if you think tournaments are reducing the amount of redfish, right now there's probably 10 or 15 redfish tournaments a year. And in 2007, 2006, 2005, 2004, there was probably 10, 15 a month.
Oh, yeah.
And there was 30, 60, 70, 100, 150 boats in each tournament.
Yeah.
And now 30 boats is a big tournament, and there's probably maybe 15 all year.
Yeah.
And so we have way less redfish tournaments with way less people fishing in the redfish tournaments. But now all of a sudden it wasn't a problem then because we had a lot of redfish, but now it's a problem now.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like in Antarctica, they're finding a lot more ice and the snowpack is thicker and there's more ice and everything else, but global warming is taking all the ice out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I get it, but you have science that says no, but that's not the science you like.
Right.
You got to go with the science you like. Okay. So anyway, the pier in Lemon Bay.
That's had some nice sheepshead on it, both the pier and the bridge itself. Getting some good reports. Guy got an 18 incher, a 20 incher, and I think his wife beat him by like a 21 or a 22 incher. They've also been getting a few trout off of it, some snook in the evening and at night. And then I've heard of two small bonnethead sharks yesterday again off of that, off the top, off the Anger Pier itself. And there were little guys. The one guy had a picture of it. And it honestly, to me, it looked like a hatchling. You know, it was 14, 16 inches tops. It was a little guy. Seemed a little late in the year for one to be that small swimming around over there.
I don't know when bonnets actually spring, give birth to the young. It could be in this time of year. Cause this
June through August.
So, but there's no saying they would have to.
No, there could be a late bloomer. It was just interesting because I'm not used to seeing those in the wintertime at all.
I mean, there was always, you know, one in high school that was always more willing to mate than others.
Sure.
So, I mean, why couldn't fish be that way? You know, hey, okay, well, why not? You know, I got nothing to do tonight.
Right.
I mean, possible. They all have to follow the rhythm and the pattern. It could be, you know, yeah, some more, who knows? Venice jetties.
The what?
Venice jetties. Jetties.
What I heard, honestly, is that there's some small patch of red tide out there. As a guy said, there was hardly anything there yesterday. He didn't smell it, didn't feel it, but he said that it was virtually void of fish. And the FWC report says that there's mild concentrations of it up there. But I have not heard of a single fish kill yet at all or anything like that.
Well, I keep watching the FWC website, and it is so all over the place.
I know. Sometimes I wonder if it's like those old spot maps where they just threw a bunch of pins up in the air. Yep. Oh, the red one's stuck. Let's call that a concentration.
You know, it's like those guys who sell the maps with, this is where you go to find the fish, and they just sit around the room laughing, like, okay, we're going to put a redfish stamp here and a snook stamp there and this here and that there. Yeah. And I mean, it's like the most useless freaking map I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know,
20-foot hole's the best place for snook.
Yeah. Give me a break. I mean, sitting there looking at that, and they've got redfish all along the east side. Well, duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a mangrove shoreline.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, you think maybe there'd be a redfish there? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico, it's going to be real sporty the next several days. They're talking 11-foot seas tomorrow. So it's going to be a little peppy probably through until Wednesday, I would have to guess. But the nearshore reefs have had sheep's head, some nice mangrove snapper, a few lane snappers. You get out to that 50 feet of water mark, a couple of gag grouper. I've heard of a few barracuda, but most of those are out a little bit further than that. The porgies and the grunts. That 3 to 15 mile mark, all doing really, really good. And then the red grouper, I've gotten some very good reports on those. They're starting to move in. I've had several reports in that 60 to 70 feet of water with some 24, 25 inch red grouper. And then that 80 to 90 feet, getting some better reports on 26 to 30 inch red grouper. So they've definitely started to trickle in a little bit closer. And we've had some pretty spectacular weather this past week. A few breezy days, but still very, very doable to go offshore. The weird part is, heard of very few amberjack out there lately. At least this week. Last week, better reports of it. This week, virtually none.
It's always hard to say.
Yeah.
I just had a couple came in, and because he was using his favorite rod, mm-hmm, that he's been using forever, and his wife came in, we did the weights and we were checking out everything, and I went through with her and found her this awesome rod.
Yeah.
And she is literally kicking his butt.
Nice.
He finally came in and said, can you figure out what kind of rod would be good for me?
Swallowed the pride, huh?
Swallowed the pride.
We've all had to do it.
And his wife is sitting there just in the background, kind of chuckling.
Yeah. Little grin on her face.
Oh, yeah. Nice. She was enjoying the heck out of that.
That's good stuff. I like it.
You know, but we got him a nice rod. I think he's going to be really happy with
it. Yeah.
Any of the passes doing anything?
Boca Grand Pass is the only one I've been hearing a good reports on. The Sheep's Head, been some small gag grouper, been a couple big Goliath / Jewfish being caught there. Let's see. Guy caught a couple of grunts there the other day, which surprised me. You know, Carl was talking about that, I think, last week, week before last, down there in Redfish Pass, but this guy had two Key West grunts that were, I don't know, 8-9 inches long, and he caught fishing from the beach. A couple guys have hooked a couple pompano and a couple of flounder, and that's about it. But the Sheep's Head have been, it's been weird, because the guy in here yesterday said, you know, we didn't catch anything from 8 until 9:30. He said it was a nice slow incoming tide, but he said from 9:30 to 10:30, him and his buddy just had good action and both caught their limit of Sheep's Head in that hour and a half time frame. They fished a little bit longer and let several more go, and then they said, okay, well, we've got enough fish, let's just call it a day. So I think sitting out there for the time and putting your effort into it, maybe even moving around a little bit, makes it worthwhile.
Okay. And walking the beaches.
Walking the beaches. The only thing I've got, really, honestly, is the south end of Boca Grand Pass and Sanibel.
We just talked about that. So what do you got? And we're going to do Sanibel in a minute. So
yeah.
Punarasa, Sanibel.
Sanibel off the beach down there. They've been getting a few pompano, a few flounder. The one guy was fishing on the backside around the Sanibel Causeway and got same thing, pompano, flounder, couple redfish, couple of snook, a handful of small trout with one big trout. And then another guy beach fishing down there. He didn't tell me which beach off of Sanibel, but he caught two sandbar sharks up to 5.5 foot, one black tip, and had several other runs in 2 days of fishing out there.
Okay. Anything on the Coosahatchee?
Yeah, nothing.
Okay. Cape Coral, anything?
One guy bought a bunch of shiners to take down there because he couldn't find any, but he never called me back to let me know how he did.
There you go. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's got the Sheep's Head, a handful of snook, and a handful of trout being caught off the bridge itself. And then north and south of it, trout are starting to pick back up a little bit. A couple mixed reports of a couple of flounder. And then some Sheep's Head around some of the oyster bars and the mangrove cuts. So kind of a little bit of a mixed gamut down there. Nothing super, super special, but pretty good. Dee was saying that the snook have slowed down around their boats, but they're still hanging out waiting for the scraps, and she's been catching some smaller snook up along the mangroves.
Alright, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island, that's the only place I've been hearing about of some bigger trout. You know, Captiva Rocks, just south of Yuseppa, out there on those grass flats. Other than that, I haven't heard of any redfish or snook at all. Just the handful of bigger trout.
Okay, and going to Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
I've got nothing except for the few docks just to the east of Boquilla with some Sheep's Head on them. Other than that, nothing else. No reports off the Boquilla Pier. You know, a couple of guys have been fishing it, but I haven't heard anything good, bad, or indifferent.
What the heck just happened to my computer? Oh, there it goes. Back again.
It took a nap?
I was typing and nothing was happening.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll be out in a few minutes. Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Honestly, I haven't heard anything from down there this week.
Okay. The east side of the harbor.
A lot of redfish and snook scattered along the bushes. The exterior islands have got smaller snook and redfish, but if you can get back into some of those further back creeks and farther in islands, bigger redfish, quite a few snook sitting on them, and then a lot of small trout scattered on the inside of the trough and just on the outside of the bar. And then down in the Pirate Harbor, they have been getting some trout on the inside, but it's been very inconsistent. A lot of guys keep popping in and out of there hoping that they're going to all show up in there, but too inconsistent.
Well, what I wrote was, Pirate Harbor has trout, but 1,000 boats, so good luck.
There you go. Pretty much be an accurate statement.
Yeah. There's always some trout there, but after 30, 40, 50 boats all go through there fishing,
pushes them around. And
it's not even that. The bigger ones are capped, the smaller ones are left, and then you just keep weeding through the smaller ones, and they can only take so much of that. So.
Right.
Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek hasn't been good until you get way up past, up around the sailboat, the boatyard. What's that, Gator Creek Marine? Up there, big snook, black drum, some juvenile tarpon, handful of sheep's head and mangrove snapper. From, like I said, the Gator Creek Marine all the way into Burntstore Isles. Burntstore Isles has been producing some really nice snook, some pretty good black drum, you know, just guys still fishing off their docks, drifting through with their boats. The guys that are catching some of the nice snook are either working for the snook or just trolling on their way in and out, and they are getting an occasional nice jack in there also. But work it slow, you know, that's the key thing back in there. Just go real slow as possible if you can stand it.
Okay, let's see. Ponce de Leon Park.
Small mangrove snapper. A couple of small black drum. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side.
And some sheephead there.
Yeah. They put up some signs right there as you go in through the opening going to the houses.
Mm-hmm.
No anchoring or mooring near the channel.
Oh, no, that's been there a long time.
Then they cleaned them up because they look almost brand new.
Yeah, they just replaced them, but most of those people, they own boats, but, you know, especially the bigger ones, mm-hmm. They're not really what I would call boat captain types.
Right.
A lot of money and not a lot of experience with a boat makes big boat very inexperienced operators. So
Right. They're
not good with, if you're there and they don't have the whole canal, they get feeling a little pressured.
Right. Well, somebody hit, like, I think the third marker going out to the harbor on the left because it's sitting at about a 2 o'clock position.
Oh, they run them over in the harbor all the time because people with big boats are inherently not all too sharp.
Yeah.
So they go out and they
set. My autopilot works just fine.
And they set their GPS coordinates to turn at the marker. If I've got this big old boat, I'm going to look and go, okay, I got for half a mile this way and this way, I've got the exact same amount of water. So I'm going to set my GPS coordinate for a quarter or half a mile away from the marker.
Absolutely.
And what they do is literally have it set within a few feet of the channel marker. So you're coming back, they're running their autopilot, they're not paying attention, they're following the line, and boom, right into that marker. And I try and tell them, if you've got to turn to the left, go a quarter mile past the marker and a quarter mile, you know, below it and a quarter mile past, and set your turn for there. And that way you turn up, you're in clear. You're not even close to it.
Right.
Oh, no. Well, I got to be by the marker so I can be safe. And it's the only damn dangerous thing there. That's why they get run over all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, PGI canals.
A lot of snook. I mean, the snook back in there has been incredible, along with some jacks. The mangrove snapper bite slowed down a little bit, but they are still catching some, along with a few sheep's head. But the snook and jacks, everyone's just kind of talking about them, both trolling through casting docks and at night on their lights. So it's been pretty darn good.
And what's weird is the jacks are actually going under the lights nowadays.
Right. I've had a couple of people tell me about that, but not just recently. That'd be neat to see, actually, because I've never caught a jack at night, ever.
No, usually they just kind of lay up, but I guess they're finally going, okay, well, look at this. There's food here. We can go hang out. You know, I'm not tired. I slept 4 hours. Let me go out and run around a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it happens to fish. It happens to me. You know, I go home after work, and then I make the mistake of sleeping for 10 or 15 minutes, and then I can't get back to sleep for hours.
Yeah, that's brutal, too.
Yeah. You got to get up at 5 or 5:30, and all of a sudden, you sleep from like 8:30 to 8:45, and then you're awake till 1 in the morning. It's like, God, and you're actually more awake and more refreshed than after you, you know, sleep for 5 hours or 6 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
So,
I don't like those.
What's that?
I don't like those naps. Not when I'm destined to open in the morning. It's like, oh, this is going to be a
drag. It's every night you got to open, or something's going on. I got an event happening or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's either that happens or the alarms in the store go off. So I got to run into the store.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is, but I'm not allowed to sleep before we have an event or something.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef, I've gotten a couple mixed reports of some small sheep's head on the southern end, but that is it. It's been super quiet at that reef. I mean, not even mangs. It's weird. You know.
Yeah, don't know if it's just nobody fishing it or they're not talking. I mean, the fishing there could be crazy good, and we just don't know because nobody's saying anything.
Right.
Or it could just really suck, and that's why nobody's talking about it. All right. Deep holes in the harbor.
Nothing. Catfish.
Catfishies. All right. And I'm not even bothering with the bait report. We'll say, how come you're not doing a bait report? Because it's cold.
There's no bait, and shrimp is it.
Really, you know, gonna have to use some shrimp. I mean, there's really no other choices. One of the guys was telling me he did see a little bit of actual greenbacks out there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see any thread fins, but he actually saw greenbacks. And he got a little bit of them. He said, nothing.
Nothing.
Didn't get a hit. So, yep. Freshwater, the one thing we really got to work on.
Yeah,
we're selling a ton of Gambler. We're sold out of Bass Assassin. I mean, Strike King's emptying out. There's a lot of people bass fishing.
Yes, there is. I mean, an unbelievable amount. You know, any of the soft plastics, I don't care if it's a worm, a lizard, a creature bait. I mean, they're just buying a lot of different varieties of things right now. I mean, the only thing that hasn't been consistent this week has been a spinner bait. You know, and everything else is just going good. And then they're getting some shiners.
Hey there. Okay. I know you don't notice it, but we were on pause, so now we're back.
Shiners are the main thing going on right now. If you want variety of sizes, and the fish are in pre-spawn, post-spawn, depending on the amount.
June bug is a color I think that I'm seeing the most.
As far as leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to be a little steady seller this week, but we've had a lot of pumpkin leave. White was doing good at the beginning of the week, but then they started to switch over to some of the other darker colors. I can't keep up with it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's literally crazy because one guy comes in, he's going for all the light colors. The next guy comes in, he's going for all the dark colors. And
yeah.
It's definitely a little different.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just that good or guys are just wanting to experiment because it's funky, but I mean, I'm seeing bass pictures, you know, 3 to 6 pound fish. It's been good. The only thing that has slowed down this week has been crappie. Guys are catching a lot of nice bluegill and bass on their crappie minnows, but the crappie that they are catching are better quality, but just not the numbers. But I've had a lot of reports on bluegill this week. You know, hand size and better, along with a couple tilapia, a couple Mayan cichlids, you know, some of the obvious invasive species, but the bluegill have been pretty darn good.
Okay. And I don't think there's any tarpon reports to play with or anything.
No, not at all. Unless you go to Miami.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
Just be safe with the weather the next 3 days. Pay attention to it if you're going out boating. And, you know, like I said, you know, I learned this the best from you. When these fronts come through this time of year, we got a full moon tomorrow, a major front coming through. Tides are going to be super low. So anyone who wants to learn and is willing to totally be safe, this is the time you go out onto the east side or the west side and go very slow and look at all the little sandbars, the little cuts, the hidden creeks that are hidden by all the mangroves that are now exposed, to see where your future fishing spots are at. That's how you learn this area. It's just going to be cold and windy, so just be prepared for it and dress appropriately and take safety at its first.
Well, if it's too rough and too nasty, just don't go.
Right.
Wait.
Right.
But, all right, I'm going to say fishing's pretty good. Deep in the morning, shallow at night. Move around a little bit more, because where you were catching fish last year in January might not be the best place. So if it's in the morning, stay outside the sandbar. Fish 5, 6, 7, 8 feet of water right outside sandbar where those fish may be laying while it's really cold. Then as it gets 10, 11, 12 o'clock, slip up, try and work those shallower waters, get those fish coming from the deep up into the shallows to get warm, and fish the sunny side of the mangroves, not the shady side. And that should help a little bit. I think if you just change around a little bit, I think you're going to find some awesome fishing, because there's a lot of fish out there. And no, all the fish didn't die in the red tide. And that
matter of fact, all those fish are out where the red tide was at.
Yeah, the best fishing right now with the big gangbusters, most biggest fish, is all where the red tide was.
Yeah.
They're not up in the harbor where they were. They're not on the Gulf. But all along the intercoastal waterway when the red tide was the worst is where the fishing is the best right now. It's where we find our biggest and the most fish.
Absolutely.
So feature that one, boys and girls. Don't know how that worked, but, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Absolutely.
And leave you with a little bit of something to smile about.
My buddy Mike.
Because I was just learning my happy game in this show. But these are the Diupers, and if you don't smile when you listen to the Diupers, something wrong.
He's too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can hardly steer.
Hey, watch out for the stuff!
When he oopers in a pontoon boat, fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. Mooch is showing dirty shirt, the proper way to cast.
Goodbye and good evening.